Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for December 7th, 2010. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'm speaking with Len Huang, a researcher at the University of California, Irvine. A new study from her group reports on the effect of oxidative stress on the yeast proteasome. As a normal part of cell physiology, proteins that are no longer needed by the cell are degraded, and their constituent parts are reused to build new proteins. Proteins that are damaged or misfolded are also degraded because they can actually be toxic to the cell. Sending proteins to be degraded is also an important means for regulating signaling and metabolic pathways by removing key proteins from the pathway. All of these types of degradation are performed by the proteasome, a multi-subunit complex that identifies the proteins that need to be degraded and then breaks them down into smaller constituents that can be recycled. When cells experience conditions that cause large-scale protein damage, such as heat stress or oxidative stress, it's the proteasome that clears up the damaged proteins before they can wreak havoc in the cell. Although it's clear that the proteasome participates in the response to cellular stress, it's not so clear whether or how the proteasome itself is regulated by cell stressors. In a study published in this week's issue, Wang and colleagues report that oxidative stress induces separation of the catalytic and regulatory portions of the yeast proteasome, thus enabling the catalytic core to degrade toxic oxidized proteins. This response was also observed in human cells, suggesting that this mechanism might be conserved throughout eukaryotes. Dr. Huang joined me on the phone from her lab at UC Irvine. Welcome, Dr. Huang.
Thank you very much.
The work that's described in your current paper in Science Signaling is about the proteasome. So the proteasome is a very large multi-subunit complex. How do all of its parts work together to get the job done, the job of degrading proteins?
Well, the 26S proteasome is actually a very large protein complex and actually carry a molecular weight about 2.5 megadalton. So the 26S proteasome primarily degrade proteins that have been modified by attachment of small protein. It's called ubiquitin. So the polyubiquitin chain functions as recognition signal for the substrate to be recognized and degraded by the 26S proteasome. So the 26S proteasome is composed of a core particle, which is 20S proteasome complex. And the 26S is capped by a 19S regulatory particle, either one end or both ends. So the 20S core particle in eukaryotes is composed of two copies of 14 subunits, has a 7 alpha and a 7 beta. The structure is conserved through evolution because that all the alpha and beta subunits form a four-stacked ring. And it carries multiple proteolytic activity, and those catalytic sites actually are located in the beta rings, which is buried inside the structure. This organization actually makes sure that the protein digestion is isolated from the surrounding cytosol. And the catalytic activity actually can allow the protease to cut the proteins at multiple different sites, such as hydrophobic sites and acidic residues and the basic residues. So the 19S regulatory complex is composed of at least 19 subunits, and it can be divided into two subcomplexes called base and lid complex. And it's important in regulating the substrate recognition and translocation for proteasome degradation. And it can bind to the polyubiquitinase substrates and can cleave and recycle polyubiquitin chain on the substrate and also unfold the substrates, assisting the opening the gate of the 20S core as well as translocating the unfolded substrates into the core for degradation. So the regulatory particle basically recognize and bound the substrate and use energy to unfold the proteins and then inject them into the core particle. So it really requires these two important subcomplexes to work together and to allow the protein degradation to occur.
Does the catalytic core have any specificity on its own, or will it just degrade any protein with which it's presented?
If it binds to the regulatory proteins, and as long as the regulatory protein unfolds those substrates and allow them to get into the chamber, then the 20S proteasome will degrade those proteins. In the absence of the regulatory particles, because the 20S has a closed gate structure, the fully folded proteins cannot be degraded. And in vitro, it has been shown that the 20S proteasome can only allow very small peptides to enter the chamber. And so it also has been shown that the unfolded substrates can be degraded by the 20S proteasome.
So does that mean that on its own, it can break down proteins that are unfolded due to cell stress, like oxidation or heat?
Right. For unfolded and damaged proteins, the 20S proteasome can perform such a function in the absence of the regulatory protein. This has been shown in the in vitro study. So we suspect that because in the in vivo studies, under oxidative stress, the proteins, they are oxidized, they become unfolded, then they expose the hydrophobic patch. So those hydrophobic patch can be recognized by the 20S proteasome in such a way to change the conformation of the structure and allow those unfolded protein to be degraded.
Normally, the proteasome is occupied by turning over proteins as a normal part of cellular housekeeping, proteins that are damaged, proteins that have outlived their usefulness, or proteins that the cell just doesn't need around anymore. But cell stressors like heat or oxidants, for example, can cause widespread protein damage. And so they generate a lot of damaged proteins that need to be degraded by the proteasome. How does the proteasome adjust to this influx of substrates?
So in most of the cases, upon the exposure of different oxidants, then the proteasome activities can be compromised, or in other words, can be inhibited under those conditions. So the type of the changes and also the level of the changes would depend on the type of reagents used to cause damage and also the duration of the stress, as well as the strength of the stress applied to the cells. Although the regulation of the proteasome in response to oxidative stress remain largely undefined, we have studied the effect of oxidative stress using hydrogen peroxide as oxidant. And we have found that under the stress that the proteasomes will be triggered to disassemble to allow the cells to recuperate and then to improve their recovery from the severe stress.
Treating yeast cells with the peroxide caused the proteasome to break apart into its catalytic and regulatory subunits. Was that then so that the catalytic core could more rapidly degrade all of those damaged proteins that were building up in the cell due to the hydrogen peroxide?
Yeah, what we think is that this mechanism is important because it will allow the cells to degrade the unfolded proteins more effectively. And a lot of study has shown that under oxidative stress condition, the degradation of damaged protein, ubiquitin, and ATP independent. So the oxidative stress induced proteasome disassembly, then it would allow the 20S proteasome to be accumulated. And then we think that that would lead to effective removal of the damaged proteins.
So during the oxidative response, then, the proteasome is essentially putting its normal duties on hold. Instead of breaking down the polyubiquitinated proteins that are tagged for degradation, it temporarily suspends those activities so that it can go deal with these proteins that are damaged.
Yeah, that's what we suspect. We also suspect that through this disassembly, the cells would have opportunity to repair certain proteins without rushing everything. And so it's a fine balance between the repair and the degradation process, and then to control the cell response, and eventually is hopefully through this process to allow the cell can still recover and maintain its viability.
Do human cells also cope with oxidative stress in the same way?
Yes, based on our work, under the similar conditions, we have found that the hydrogen peroxide-induced stress actually inhibits the 26S proteasome. This has been found in a couple types of human cell lines. And then experiments carried out in the 293 cells indicate that the dissociation of the 26S proteasome has been observed. So we suspect a similar kind of mechanism are used by the mammalian cell system to cope with those kind of stress. However, due to the more complex regulatory system and additional proteasome components present in mammalian system, we suspect the actual regulators involved in such a pathway may be much more complex than the yeast system.
In these studies, you were using a large amount of stress on the cells. You were applying hydrogen peroxide to the cells. But cells encounter oxidative stress all the time, but not necessarily such a large amount of stress. Do you have any indication that this mechanism of dealing with oxidative stress is also used to deal with the sort of the normal small amount of oxidative stress that cells encounter, or do you think it's only used when cells encounter an extreme stress?
Well, this is a very good question. And so far, we have only studied the effect of the 26S proteasome in response to acute oxidative stress. And I believe our work is just the beginning for us to fully understand how the proteasomes are actually regulated during oxidative stress. As I mentioned earlier, that the 20S proteasome is regulated by the 19S regulatory particles. And in addition to the 19S regulatory particle, can also be regulated by other regulatory particles. So in the cells, it has been shown that under oxidative stress, that sometimes the 26S proteasome is involved in degrading some minor damaged proteins. And in severe cases in the study, we have shown that the accumulation of the 20S proteasome from the disassembly of the 26S proteasome may play an important role in removing the severely damaged proteins. So what we think is that in this kind of situation, in comparison of the acute stress versus the long-term exposure of the low stress, may have some similarity in the mechanism how to deal with the stress, but I believe they must have some kind of alternative mechanisms present for dealing with low level and long time exposure. The reason for that is long exposure of certain stress can actually cause accumulated damage to the proteins. And then it will also have accumulated effect on the proteasome degradation system. And so somehow I think that it kind of passing a threshold, then the effect on the proteasome may have some permanent damage, and then in a way that the system may not be recovered as what we see in the short acute oxidative stress as carried out in our experiments. So what I think is that it may carry other alternative pathways to handle the stress at a low level. Although our experiment is done in the high dose of the acute oxidative stress, but I think through those dramatic effects, then one can see and or discover a detailed molecular mechanism behind how the proteasomes are regulated during the oxidative stress.
That was Lan Huang, senior author of a research article published in the December 7th issue of Science Signaling. That article is by Wang and colleagues, and it's titled Regulation of the 26S Proteasome Complex During Oxidative Stress. This paper is part of a special focus issue on metabolism that features two research articles, two perspectives, and an editorial guide. You can find all this and more in the current issue of Science Signaling. And that wraps up this Science Signaling podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions, please write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. This show is a production of Science Signaling and of AAAS, advancing science, serving society. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and its publisher, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, thanks for listening.